Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James.
The Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner.
Ooh, it is episode 157.
Shit, we're getting up there.
Yeah.
And how have we done 157 of these?
This is the end show? You're having a reflective moment?
I mean, that number just hits me for some reason.
We were at episode 157. What do we have cooking aside from reflecting on how many episodes we've done?
I am going to be talking about Mexico repatriation, some more atrocities that this country just keeps on doing to people.
Wow, that sounds, I'm going to take that baton of, wow, this sounds fucked up, and talk about a little bit deeper into the indigenous fucked upness that happened that we talked about last week, and it's essentially how Columbus done fucked it up for the Tainos, who are no longer with us. I'm talking about this great culture that is no longer here, and more fucked up things that Columbus did.
I know. We're also going to side-eye Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, it's a lot of frowny face action that's going to be happening on this episode. We're going to frowny face Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Kevin Hart.
Yep, absolutely. And also the Manhattan Young Democrats. We got some frowny faces for you. Also, Marvel, there is some things to be excited about and some things to be...
We might come to some decisions, some helpful tips, if Marvel decides to listen to us.
Yeah, keep us on your payroll. Well, wait, I technically kind of am, but not. So just redo my contract, and I'll bring you along with me.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Coattails!
I got you covered. Get you your ducats.
I need them.
All right, well, let's get into it.
All right, let's go.
Hey, how are you? I'm good. Well, I am good, but then I just looked at our show notes, and it is just frowny face central.
I know. We got a lot of... It's a little... Is it a frowny face? It's like that sad, like, kind of face, where
It's like side mouth, or like, you know, it's... Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, like, what's going on? So, just get your face, turn your
get
face.
Get your cackles ready. Yeah. We're gonna make some laughs, but...
We'll try to looks keep like it we got light, some... but I just wanted to brace yourself, so...
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Neil deGrasse Tyson. How did this happen? I feel like we can't have heroes anymore. Like, what? How does this happen?
You know what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell me.
This I haven't really read up on it because
I've been scared to.
I've been afraid to because I am always, you know, I listen to the accuser.
Yes,
you know,
I'm the same page. Same boat. Same page.
So I can't really talk too much on it because I want to be informed when I'm talking on it. I do know that he did release a lengthy apology, but I didn't read it yet. So,
I read snippets. I'm not an authority on it. There was one case where he was at a party, I believe, and grab some woman. And maybe like it's like part of me is like, well, maybe we shouldn't have like alcohol at like a work events. But then I'm also just like, no, men just don't do
control
that.
Yourself.
There it is.
So yeah.
The lesson always comes back to like we need to again teach men how to be fucking men and like
exactly. We should be able to drink. We should be able to wear sexy
whatever
clothing.
You want. Yeah.
We should be able to do whatever we want without predatory things.
Yes. And then there was another woman who had accused him of rape from back in grad school. So, but then he tried to discredit her by saying that, like, well, she doesn't believe in a lot of like science type stuff or something. Or like,
what does that have to do with anything?
Okay. That doesn't discredit what she's saying. And I mean, I'm so looking forward to the season of Cosmos that was about to be released. And like Neil deGrasse Tyson's just like a fucking hero of mine. I wonder, like, and I wanted to bring it up on the show because, like, we talk about a lot of these, you know, terrible men, and we've also praised Neil deGrasse Tyson on the show, and I wanted to, like, be, you know, like, not like, oh, we don't see what's happening over here, but just to, like...
No, we need to talk about it, even if it's painful for us.
Yeah.
I have a theory.
Okay.
My theory is a lot of this has been happening to... or a lot of these cases have been happening in industries of Hollywood and politics, mm-hmm. which I would say are ego-driven.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the individuals that would seek out that might be ripe for these types of kind of crossing the line.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Where it's
yeah.
like, if you have a huge ego already and like, you're trying to get limelight.
You're feeling great. Yeah. You're in a peak state all the time. Everyone's telling you how great and wonderful you are. And you're just like, ooh.
Taking advantage. So I feel like, especially in these industries, there should be even more regulations placed. Does yeah. that make sense? Am I yeah. making sense right now?
I think I think also maybe even just like workshops and stuff.
Education. Education. Yes. Education.
I think like it's like when you become a congressperson, there should be like, you know, back when I was an RA, I started to go to like RA training and there'd be like a diversity, like, you know, yeah. diversity training. And so it's like same thing in Hollywood. It's like if, as soon as you become part of like SAG or the Directors Guild or Writers Guild or Producer Guild, you're in
you
the
go
guild.
Through training.
Go through training. And part of it is like, so don't let your ego get, there should be like an ego class or something, you know, like of like,
right.
don't let power like, get to you. Don't get too chummy about, you know, boundaries.
Exactly. And no, like nonsense, like the rules should be held accountable.
Yeah.
Because like, then it would like cause people to think twice at least before they're fucking perverts.
Yep. Remember, you're at work. And same thing like with Congress. Yeah. Like everybody who like, yeah, it doesn't matter
God,
if you're out
so
of work.
Simple.
Do some role playing if you need. You can hire actors, but then also make sure the actors go through the same training as well.
Yeah.
This is a continuous
exactly.
it's like a continuous training.
Just a loop. Just a
people
keep passing
just,
it down.
Just keep oh, we'll need to
Pass
train those actors through other actors. And because people just don't, not people, but men just don't know how to behave. So,
yeah, it's just like, what the, we clearly we got to fix something.
Yeah.
We got to fix the way that we raise our children.
Yep. Yes, we do. So I think we solved that case. Didn't take Nancy Drew or Scooby-Doo. More education.
Well, Cosmos is ruined. But then again, I'm afraid of the universe. So.
Oh, yeah. So it worked out for
it
you.
It doesn't
you're
really
like,
affect me that
like,
much.
Great. Now I don't have to like. Him and Ha
pretend
am
to
I,
like
pretend
this
to
shit.
Like it. Him and Ha about ooh, am I gonna watch it or pretend that you did see it? It's just like oh, well, that's gone. Okay,
it's really irrational. This is a side note. I was watching some TV show with Andrew, and it was all about like the infinite nature of the universes. And I was like, I cannot handle this. This is too scary.
But you love you love Star Trek and things.
That's different. I go out. I'm like, I'm going to go watch something else. And I go and watch The Keepers, which is like all this nun murder and like all of these
oh,
like horrible
what?
Like case that happened
you
in like
to
the
go
1960s.
Watch that, as opposed to just like the universe is everlasting and there's gas out there.
That's what Andrew
there.
Said. And I was like, I can handle this
what?
Type of scary.
Oh,
I can't handle the other type.
Wow.
The infinite nature of the universe loops back into death to me for some reason, and it's just too much for me.
Loop back into life, and it's literally the circle of life.
Yeah, I mean, we pick and choose our battles. That's one that you're not going to convince me on. That's
okay. All right. Okay. Well, keep in my prayers, girl.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it because you know it's out there, and I love it, but it's terrifying to
okay.
me.
Okay. Well. I don't want to end you on this note, but we all got to die. But,
yeah. so what? Why are you bringing this up?
Because it's just like ripping a Band-Aid off. I am just giving you that tough, I am that tough love parent. I'm just like, I'm going to tell my kid as soon as I can, you're going to die. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so you know what? Since we're on the same topic of not death, but black men fucking up.
Oh, yeah. And and this is from one frowny face to the next frowny face. So, yeah.
You might as well just hopscotch over.
What did this black man do? Because I see it on the list.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
What?
So,
well, I'm not surprised.
Kevin
already.
Hart, hell, and this is tying back into your corner last week. So
oh.
if you don't know, pause, go listen to the last episode.
Like, what did
listen
we talk about? He don't know his history.
He had a Cowboys and Indians party for his 4-year-old's birthday on Thanksgiving.
Oh, Kevin, you need to listen to Minority Corner, Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm. And then it gets worse. So when people called him to the floor and people were like, this is fucked up, why'd you do this? He went on his radio show and was like saying it's stupid that people were complaining about that.
That's the wrong
response.
And
it was just, I know, and it was just a childhood game that him and his friends used to play when he was younger. And how dare people get upset? And then he brought up how the football game, the Redskins versus the Cowboys were playing. And
which
how
is also problematic. Like, I know! That's, what, are you Kevin Hart? You are not getting the point of any of this. Like, there's shit that like I used to do when I was a kid that I should probably not have my kids doing, like, because we don't do that anymore. Times they change.
We've grown and learned and adapted.
I mean, that by that logic, you could, like, you know, I shouldn't be mad if someone's having a segregation birthday party for their kids. They used to do it back then.
Well, somebody on his radio show was like, what about, how would you feel if like white kids were playing slaveholder and and slaves? Yeah. And he was like, they probably do.
Okay, that's, well, you know what it is? The man's got his defense shields up, so he's not able to, like, listen and hear anything.
He's not receiving.
And maybe it'll sink in. He just, I think, got caught up in the, whoop, I done fucked, like, I fucked up, but his, like, defense shields are just, like, up so high.
I just, I cannot get behind anybody who legitimizes playing Cowboys and Indians at this time.
And here's the thing,
period.
Is that, like, as a black man, like, I like have a Cowboys party because, as we talked about on this podcast, we did the episode about the Vaquitos. Like, most Cowboys were actually black. Like, it was like,
by all means,
yes,
it's a job.
It's a part of our history and black culture, being a cowboy. But the indigenous part, like, of it.
That's a person.
Yeah.
So you got a job versus a person. So you could.
True.
That's
true.
Let's leave
true.
That alone. So
it's,
you could,
like,
be a cowboy,
like,
party, firefighter party, librarian party.
Right. It would be like having like a librarian party and Alec Baldwin. Like, librarians and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, librarians and Scandinavians.
Yeah. Like, wait, that's weird. Because you're talking about a culture and then a job. Oh, I'm just going to my kids', you know,
firefighter and Honduran party.
Yeah, problematic. Problematic, Kevin Hart. I have another frowny face that's in a different category.
Let's scoot on over.
It's just like, let's just get all these frowns out. We are not
out.
Turning. And then
let's,
we'll turn the frowns upside down
frowns.
If we get a chance. Well, I don't know. Still looking at those lists. Just frowns around. So Marvel Disney Plus is launching their new thing that's going to take over the internet. It's Disney Plus.
Yeah, they are slashing and burning their fucking Netflix shows.
Yep. Daredevil also gone. Jessica Jones, watch out. They're coming for you next, girl.
I would. If I worked on Jessica Jones, I'd be sending out my resumes.
I'd be like, okay, let's just going out. Kristen Ritter coming out on auditions.
You gotta pack it up, lady.
Oh god, it's not true. But then the other thing is, so they're having Disney Plus, and there's a new slate of shows that are coming out. Everyone's really excited about, because there's been a division. I'll give you the inside scoop as someone who kind of still used to works at Marvel. I don't know. I got
your Care Bear
Vibs.
Cousin at this point.
Yeah, I am a Care Bear cousin of Marvel right now, so I don't mind spilling the tea. So there is, like, division between Marvel Entertainment, which is the movies, and then Marvel Television, which is like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They're
even
different.
The stuff that's on Netflix. They are different. Kevin Feige heads up Marvel Entertainment, and the television is head up by, I think, like, Jeff Loeb, somebody else. They do not get along, mainly because the movies get first dibs on all characters. The movies
do
whatever the fuck they want, but the TV shows have to stay within the realm of whatever's happening in the movies. And so television moves at a faster rate, so they can't. That's why they have to go to, like, C-line characters and C-line plots, they have to comment on what happens in the movies, but the movies don't, they're like, who, Jessica who? I don't know.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I also can see where I would be disgruntled about it if I worked in the television department.
Right. So, but here's the thing. With Disney Plus, they're going to move a lot. All of these things are going to be in-house, and they are going to be underneath Marvel Entertainment. So Kevin Feige is also looking over the new Marvel shows.
That other guy's losing his job.
Maybe. I mean, he saw his Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just got picked up for another season.
Okay.
They're a nice cast.
You better
cast.
Watch out. Him and Jessica Jones better be looking up Indeed. Get that fired up on your phone.
Ooh, yeah. Check and see what the papers are saying, where they need a new producer and an actress.
Yeah. DC needs some help.
So there's four new shows coming out in Disney Plus. There's a Loki show. There's a Falcon.
Spoiler alert.
There's a what? That's not a spoiler. This is all news.
No, oh, I mean, spoiler for Avengers.
No, because it could mean that it could be back in time.
Oh,
so you don't know.
Oh, look at you. Nice. Yeah. Clean it up. Clean it up.
He could still be dead. But there's going to be a Loki show. And there's going to be a buddy cop like Falcon and Bucky Barnes. And
cute.
So again,
weird,
it could,
but all right.
And it could be, who knows? I mean, because technically, spoiler, they are dead right now. But
yeah,
it could be
precursors.
Which I would love because I wish they would have done a Secret Wars movie where it's essentially Captain, in the comics books, Captain America's team, which is like Scarlet Witch, Bucky Barnes, Falcon, and Black Widow off doing like Secret Avengers like missions because they're such a
like
dope
spy
team.
Shit. I love that spy
and
shit.
Like, they're wanted, so they have to keep it like undercover. And
see, I love that. That would cover the space between
Civil War and Avengers. And so like, I mean, I would have loved just at least a more like 20 minutes of that or just, I don't know, a full movie. So we might get that in the TV shows. And
I'm
who else
that.
Is getting a TV show? The Scarlet Witch. She's going to be behexing people. And oh my god, I am so here for the Scarlet Witch. Like,
it sounded like you were throwing a little shade.
No, I am here for her. I am like rooting for her because I'm a strong female character who actually has powers and can do shit. Though like Scarlet Witch's accent has gone the way of Holly's.
She's
Storm.
Like, I don't got an accent anymore.
It's gone the way of Storm's accent.
She's like, fuck this shit. My brother's dead. Who cares?
Who cares? I'm, you know, always.
I love a robot. Leave me alone.
Scarlet Witch's storyline. And she's so many amazing storylines in the comics. But so it's going to be Scarlet Witch. And then they're like, oh, and Vision's going to be in it too. And then guess what the name of the series is now called?
Uh-oh. What is it called?
Vision and the
love
Scarlet
Engine?
Witch.
Why?
How did she not get top billing in her own show? They're like Scarlet Witch. Because like she'll never get her own movie, but like she'll get her own, you know, limited series.
That's
and that'll
rude
be
as
fun.
Hell.
Yeah.
That's rude as a hell. Like, why they gotta do that?
Yeah. I know.
Literally used to be the Siri for Iron Man.
Yeah.
Well, and why do we gotta get...
And they've really been trying to shove us like this love story down our throats, which we're not invested in. Like the actors, there's not a lot of chemistry. I mean,
I get the chemistry,
right? But like, it just like they've just been like really trying to like force this Vision in Scarlet Witch. I just want some Scarlet Witch running around. I don't need her to have a vision. Of love.
I would, you know what I would like?
What?
I think you would like this too.
Okay, I'm listening.
She's running around doing her missions, and then she comes home and he's like, hey, I cooked you some food.
Yes.
And she's like, yay.
That's what
and
I want to see.
And then she goes, runs around, comes back. He's like, do you want me to take out the trash? And she's like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, oops, sorry. I gotta save all these people.
And then, like, he'll have his little B plot where it's like his foibles being like, oh, I'm a robot. I don't understand the world in the grocery store or whatever.
Oh my God. I am so here for that. Vision and the Scarlet Witch. Dun, 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 boom.
Yeah. And he's like, what's this cat?
That's my Vision. And she's like, Duck Vision, there's Shintaro trying to kill you. Boom. And she kills him.
And he's just like, what happened? I got a bunt in the oven.
Okay, so I wanted to talk some a more frowny face for you.
Okay.
So I went to, I remember I told you it was about like, ooh, I went to the Manhattan Young Democrats. It was amazing. I am so excited about it. Well, we had our elections for the Manhattan Young Democrats. And I was so excited about the Manhattan Young Democrats because when I went, I was really expecting a bunch of white people. And it was not that. It was the president was black. The vice president was Southeast Asian. The treasurer was Southeast Asian. And the secretary was a black woman. And it was so diverse.
Represent.
First time I had ever been a part of an organization where white people were a part of it, but they weren't running it.
Yeah.
And it was so diverse. It was like, oh, this is That's New nice. York. This is really great. And elections happen, and there was like a huge, essentially, like, so the original Manhattan Young Democrats used to be filled with like a lot of white legacies where they're like, oh, my dad was a legacy. And it was just a lot of like, you know, people
who
were.
I have a problem with legacies.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so this new president kind of flipped it on the script and got some new blood in there and a lot of more diverse demographics of folks. And at the elections, there was this huge wave of like white folks who showed up, and which is fine, you know, but there were
That's whatever. It's New York. Yeah.
Well, there were two white female candidates who failed to meet the guidelines and deadlines. And they were like, this is unfair, but it's literally stepped out in the Constitution. And so they made a motion to essentially throw out the voting laws of the Constitution so that these two women could vote. And they had they had this huge wave of people to be able to back them up.
Oh.
And Aneke, the optics of it was you couldn't, it was literally a corner of minorities in one corner of the room and a bunch of white people on the other side.
Was that segregated?
Yes. At the Manhattan Young Democrats meeting. And I don't know why I continue being surprised by this sort of like white progressivism that happens. I saw it in San Francisco where it's this like false notion of like being, oh, we're so progressive, but, you know, it feels like this pushing out of, you know, minorities. And to me, it's like, listen, you didn't meet the guidelines. You didn't make the run next year. We have elections.
Yeah,
like,
why did they have to? What?
I feel
what
like
is up with that?
There was a lot of like also like white ladies who showed up, and I think that they saw the two men of color who were running, and they just saw like men, and they just saw men who were, you know, throwing their power around and whatnot, and you know.
Well, I mean, we can't like read into what they were thinking because it could have been worse. It could have been better too. You know, like.
It was being there was such a disgusting night. To me, if I were a white person and I was sitting around and I saw that I'm sitting around just a bunch of group of white people and it's just all of us white people on one side, something's up there. I might need to like want to sort of check that in some way. Some of the women would stand up and be like, oh, like I believe the president is black. I believe he's queer. And they're like, oh, you know, he doesn't respect like women. And I think like she wasn't saying all women. I feel like she had felt attacked by like.
Oh, so she said that? Like,
yes. And I don't think that's true because the other women of color in the room did not co-sign on that. And I just feel like I witnessed a lot of it felt like a similar reaction to like when Barack Obama was elected to president on a very microcosmic level. I feel like I experienced a white lashing of people who their power had been taken away and they felt the need to they dropped out of the organization, came back to take back the organization that they felt was theirs.
Interesting.
We had our meeting at in a basement in a black church, in a black Baptist church, and the Manhattan Young Democrats never had their meetings up in Harlem until we had this, you know, POC leadership never reached out to folks over in Chinatown, you know?
Yeah. Ugh, that's so frustrating. And you know what? It calls to mind something that just happened that I feel like this is happening on the local level for you.
Yeah.
And this is happening on the national level for Barbara Lee. So Barbara Lee, who we've talked about before on the podcast, did a whole corner on her. She is a California representative. She's my representative. Woo woo, Oakland. Yeah. She was running for the Democratic chair, which would have been fucking awesome because she is, you know, the caucus chair.
Right.
And it would have been amazing in Congress to have her there because she's been such a dissenting voice for so many right side of history movements.
Yeah.
But she didn't win. She ended up being beat by someone else. And it's now being pointed to that Representative Joe Crowley, who was the past caucus leader, but he was beat out by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh.
He spread a rumor.
I'm connecting some dots here. Continue.
This motherfucker spread a rumor about how Barbara Lee had donated to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's campaign, but she didn't donate into the campaign until after elections happened.
Right. Yeah.
And so a lot of because of this fucking petty ass rumor that this leaving
representative.
He spread these rumors to basically sabotage Barbara Lee and punish Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which to me, I'm drawing parallels where it's like, one, we're all a Democratic Party, so we should be happy to support whoever's in power and not trying to take it back and sabotage other people.
Yep.
And two, it's a lot of old guard mentalities, which re-white.
Yes.
Against people of color.
Yeah.
And it just, I hate that the lines have to fall in those ways, but we really need to figure out these old guard, or even if they're young, but that subscribe to the same old guard kind of democratic notions, we need to realign. We need to take a page from, unfortunately, the Republicans, who have been able to band together behind some of the craziest thoughts just to gain power.
Yep.
Instead of fighting amongst yourself, because right now what you witnessed with the Manhattan Democrats is division in power and disruption. And what's happening in Congress is division and disruption of power.
Yeah.
People being afraid of people of color coming into power.
Yep. And it was such a divisive, it was so divisive and unnecessarily divisive. Again, we have elections every year and it's like, you know what? You can just, even if you felt like, oh, it was unfair, yada, yada, it's like you can just run again next year. And one of the ladies, she said that like if the black president had been elected again and she was treasurer, she said that she couldn't work with him. And it's like,
oh my God, now
you're making it so personal and you don't care about the organization at all, it seems like, you know?
Yeah.
And it just was a clear reminder to me of just like how much like you have to work twice as hard to get half as much, how much like each one of these candidates needed to have to like shuck and jive and win over these other, you know, I'm going to say it, these white voters here. And to me, it's like, I don't think the Manhattan Young Democrats, if I walk into a meeting, should I almost think that I was at a Young Republicans meeting? And that's what it's going back to. And that's what's really unfortunate, that we, who are we as a Democratic Party? And I really hope this new leadership continues the amazing work that the POC leadership did in trying to do outreach and making this a place for, you know, everyone. And you have to, now you have to work to go get that. You can't just be like, oh, we're here. You have to go and make those people feel like they are welcome, that they're included. And it just kind of like, I don't know. It made me just really angry because I just feel like, to me, if I have that like power and privilege, like if I see that there's a bunch of guys leading something and like I take a step back, I'm like, let me make some space for some like women to come through, you know? Like, I already know that I kind of have a leg up in that arena. Like, where can I step back and make room for other folks who don't normally get to have that? And it's like,
exactly.
I just feel like, honestly, like, I feel like, you know, part of, I think every white person who is really walking the walk, talking the talk, like, you should make it part of your mission to like undo the acts of like that your ancestors participated in one way or another of rape and pillaging of the continents between the Americas, the Africa, whether like you didn't do it, but in some ways you have benefited from that work that happened of like the lynching and the land that was stolen. And it's like, you make amends. Like, part of your mission should be making amends. And it also means helping to give way and power to other people who don't have that and who are two steps behind you just because of who they were when they were born.
I completely agree. I think we all need to be looking out for each other and stop neglecting the privileges that we do hold. I mean, the same thing goes for, I don't want to point the finger, but also like with the issue with Kevin Hart, like it was extremely disgusting to me because he's a person of color.
You know,
we need to be supporting each other and acknowledging the histories that have allowed certain of us to be on top for certain reasons. And that is not being exhibited even in our most progressive circles.
That's what exactly. Well, I wanted to share that. So it's even happening on a microscopic level. And just because you're like, oh, I'm a Democrat, that means nothing. That doesn't mean shit. Okay. Like, you have to be like an ally is an action word. You need to be an advocate for progress. It's an action word. So
amen to that.
Well, I would like to dip into your corner. Well, I have to, should I keep my frown face on?
You got to keep your frown face on, but it's also, you know what, inquisitive, learning something new, something you don't normally hear about, that might sound a little familiar to today.
Oh, okay. Well, sign me up.
Hey, it's Jana Varney of the JV Club podcast, and I am so excited to be joining Maximum Fun. If you're not yet familiar with the JV Club, it's a podcast with me and some of my favorite women, and in the summer, men, as we explore the highs and lows of our terrible teenage years into our adult lessons. For example, hear about Allison Brie's humiliating moment at a gymnastics competition, experience the shame of a knocked-out tooth with Jamila Jamil, or drop in as John Hamm imagines what would happen if Bambi met Godzilla. So join me and all my once awkward, often still awkward, friends every Thursday by subscribing to the JV Club on MaximumFun.org.
Aneke's corner, Aneke's corner, Aneke's corner.
It
I
works.
I know it sounds like Quizlet corner, but see, Quizlet it's... corner goes Quizlet corner, and you yours goes Aneke corner. See, they're different.
Sure. All right. You know what? I'll let you have that because that's as much joy as you're gonna get this corner.
Okay. No, that's it. Starting off there, and frowny face back on.
No, but this is good though because I think we need to talk about our histories, like we always talk about. If we don't talk about our histories, we're doomed to repeat it, which is always what's happening. And I recently found out about this. I had no idea about this, but America had a time period where we deported up to 2 million Mexican and Mexican Americans.
Ugh, I just can't. You mean people who were already living here?
That were citizens.
That were citizens. They were like, I believe.
60% were estimated about 60% were U.S. citizens.
And like, they all, it was just insane. Because all, like, correct me, I don't want to jump the gun here, but I believe, like, again, like, they were part of Mexico, and then Mexico got bought by the U.S., and then they were citizens, and then they were like, you get out of here. That doesn't make any sense.
But this is different. This is, this is another incident that happened a little bit later. So just, you will notice in histories of the United States and Mexico have had cyclical, ridiculous scapegoating history, which is just out of control. So basically what I'm talking about is this thing that was called the Mexican repatriation, which happened during the 1930s and into the 1940s. And like what I said before, basically it's been estimated that up to 2 million, I think somebody did some research and it was 1.8 million, but no, the records are foggy. Imagine that.
Oh yeah, I'm weird.
Of Mexicans and Mexican Americans were deported or expelled from cities and towns across the United States and sent to Mexico. It's also estimated that about 60% were U.S. citizens, aka born in the United States.
Damn. I also want to point out, like you said, 1930s and the 1940s, and meanwhile, like
through.
I mean, also like cut to like the World War II, and it was like, now let's put these Japanese Americans in camps. Like, it,
I mean, a lot of fucked up stuff just happening.
Fucked up stuff happening in the 20th century. I'll just,
in U.S. history, U.S. history means all the fucked time. Up shit is happening.
True.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
somewhere at some point, some fucked up shit is happening. Right now, some fucked up shit is happening.
Okay, so 1930s. Okay, so it was the Great Depression. Herbert Hoover was our president, and he was a jerk.
as many of our past presidents yes, have been.
Exactly. So it was the Great Depression. A quarter of Americans were unemployed. And as what always happens when Americans are unemployed, they have to put the blame somewhere.
Yep.
And where does the blame go? The blame goes to Mexicans. We're taking scarce jobs.
This sounds so familiar.
Yeah, imagine that, right? So yeah. In response, so this is where it should have been stopped. The government should have said, no, you idiots. We're all in the Great Depression. We're all suffering right now. But no, the government, federal, state, and local officials launched into the repatriation campaigns. So the repatriation campaign was, in a couple of the articles that I read, they like to point out that it's a misnomer because the 60% of these, they were U.S. citizens. So it's not repatriation because they are patriots to the United States of America. Like, so it's kind of
straight up like born here.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, I don't understand how that's legal.
Ridiculous.
You're here. That's it. Because repatriation is the process of returning an asset, an item of symbolic value to a person, or like you're returning something to where it belongs. It don't belong anywhere except for here.
Exactly, because you're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, to return someone to their own country. Yeah, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all. So basically, they sought out people of Mexican heritage, basically just even looked for people with Mexican sounding last names.
How would you find that out? Like, you'd be like, oh, get him. He looks brown. They'd be brown.
Like, I think that sounds like that. Yeah, basically. So, Professor Francisco Baladarama, he wrote a book called A Decade of Betrayal, Mexican Repatriations in the 1930s. Yeah. So, check that out if you want to know more about this history. So, he explains Mexican immigration was very recent. It goes back to that saying, last hired, first fired. The attitude of many industrialists and agriculturalists was reflected in larger cities. A Mexican is a Mexican. And that included even those citizens of Mexican descent who were born in the U.S. So racism.
Yeah. Oh, that's what that is. Yeah. So he could have just been like, oh, because of racism, Latinos and brown people were targeted.
So fucked up. Okay. So how do they get people? So they held raids in workplaces.
Oh my God.
And also in public places. Mexicans and Mexican Americans were all deported. And the most famous that people talk about was a raid that happened in downtown Los Angeles, Palisita Olivera, in 1931. So on a Sunday afternoon in 1931, they went to that park, which is in Los Angeles, basically because that's where Mexican people hung out.
Wow.
And they rounded up everyone in that park that day, took them to a train station, put them on a train that they had leased, and those people were taken to central Mexico to minimize their chances of crossing the border and coming back to the United States.
That is insane. And mind you, again, these are people who have never been, for the most part, have probably never been to Mexico or Central America. Like, they were born here. Like,
no rhyme or reason, just grabbed you if you looked, you know, Latinx,
and off on a train you were like kidnapped. Like, this is like another another town where white people are kidnapping people and putting them to another place.
It's just, you know, it's fucked up. Basically, they weren't really, there wasn't any rhyme or reason. They just kind of, it was like, okay, well, let's go here. Let's grab Mexicans that are here. Let's go to this. I hear that this is a bar where a lot of Mexican Americans hang out. Let's go grab them there. And these raids were intended to spread fear throughout Mexican barrios and pressure Mexican and Mexican Americans to leave on their own. And they actually succeeded.
Sure. I have a question. Was this specifically targeting like Mexican Americans? But like, what if you were from a different part of like Central America or South America? Were you also? I mean, I'm sure they weren't really.
Do you think they cared?
Or like, well, I know.
I can answer that question for you.
I don't understand how this got passed as a law.
It was just like an executive order. It was like legislation. It was just like passed down for like law officials, like federal law officials, state law officials, local law officials were like, yeah, let's do this.
Wow.
And the president was behind it and higher ups were behind it.
Sure.
It was very kind of fly by night. Like,
and these are citizens.
I know, it's fucked up. Okay, so when there wasn't any raids happening, government officials used coercion to get rid of Mexican Americans who were U.S. citizens. Mm. So in Los Angeles, it was standard practice for county social workers to tell those receiving public assistance that they would lose it and that they would be better off in Mexico.
Wow.
Those social workers would then get tickets for the families to travel back to Mexico.
Here's a ticket if you leave, a one-way ticket.
Yeah, so scare tactics if they weren't just like rounding people up and sending them over.
Wow.
And I've been talking a lot about Los Angeles because there's a lot of Mexican and Mexican Americans that are in Los Angeles still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But this happened all over the country.
Yeah.
It happened in Detroit. It happened in Alaska, Alabama, Mississippi. All over the United States, this was happening.
Yeah.
And it goes without saying that this is a violation of many constitutional rights.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Including the 14th Amendment, due to process clause of the 4th, and then also the 4th Amendment, which prohibits unreasonable search and seizure.
Right. Yeah. There's like there's no cause for like any of this.
It's bullshit. Okay, so this is when things get even more bullshitty. What? You ready?
Nikki, thank you. I can't. That must be the end of it. They can't get more. How? How could it possibly?
This is the part that pisses me off. This is the part that pisses me off so much.
Let me get ready to hold something.
Okay, so what happens in 1940s? World War II, right?
Yeah.
So during the 1940s, when most able-bodied people, men, were going to fight the war.
Yeah.
We needed a workforce.
No.
So Mexican labor was back in demand.
No.
Bodies were needed for low-paying agricultural work, and the xenophobia subsided under the auspices of the Barcero Program,
yes!
A bilateral agreement between the U.S. and Mexico. The program brought Mexican workers to the States for short-term labor.
Yes, I studied that program when I was in college, and the program, I think, goes for several decades. It's an agreement between Mexico and the U.S. to send over workers, and it was going to send money back to like Mexico, and then it then put another dependency between the U.S. and Mexico in terms of U.S. for the labor and Mexico for the money, and so it just put that cycle all over again.
But also, do you not hear how fucking shitty and hypocritical that is, though?
The whole entire history of it is insane because, like, even like Mexican Americans in Texas, when you talked about the Texas Rangers like a year or two ago or whatnot, like they were already here. And like they were Mexicans, and then there were Mexican Americans, and then their descendants then got deported, even though they were already here, and you made them a citizen of your country. Then you deported them, and then you said, "Well, actually, can you guys come back here and work?" What the fuck?
And then let's not even forget that right around the corner, right after World War II ended, was Operation Wetback, which is the worst name ever. But that was to once again deport, round up, quote unquote, illegal Mexicans and Mexican Americans from the United States. So it's this awful fucking cycle. And the fact that Trump ran on a campaign as tired and fucking played out,
yeah,
as he did by by using Mexicans as scapegoats, yep, is insanity.
Yep.
What's the definition of insanity? Repeating something over and over again.
And man, are we playing the same old tired ass track?
Our country is insane.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so a little follow up.
Yeah.
So California State Senator Joseph Dunn, who in 2004 began an investigation into the Hoover era deportations, he successfully sponsored the Apology Act, an official mea culpa for the state of California to its Mexican residents, and it passed in 2006.
Okay.
He also led efforts to have a memorial erected in La Palisita Park, the site of that first giant raid in 1931. Mm. And it stands there in memorandum.
Okay.
So that's good.
Yeah.
But here is the sad little PS.
Okay. All right.
So Senator Dunn took his apology proposal to the members of the U.S. Congress, and no one was interested.
What?
They would say immigration is really vital right now. We're going to look like we're only fighting for Latinos. We couldn't convince anyone to pick it up. And the cycle
continues. Damn. Oof.
Know your fucking history, folks.
Yeah.
Know your history.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one... Weather? One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, the song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now.
It's James's corner.
Well, I'm going to...
Should I keep frowning? Am I frowning still?
Don't you dare take that frown off. Don't you dare.
Okay, it's still
keep
on.
Keep that
it's
frown
still
on. This is the frowniest episode we have ever done. And, you know, piggybacking off of, I think, just the same just cultural fucked upness. Last week I talked about the indigenous, the history of just the, what we've done to, not we, well, no, not we, what they did.
Yeah, well, America.
America did to the, you know what, and here's the thing, I will take ownership of it because I am trying to make it part of my mission to rectify that. So in the same way, like Manhattan Young Democrats, look at the history of how you affect your people, have affected other disenfranchised people and make it your mission to rectify that. Also, I just want to point out, listening to Aneke's Corner, I said this to you offline, that I just think about how forgiving, you know, Mexicans, Latinos, Black people, Indigenous people are towards America and white people. Incredibly forgiving because it's fucked up.
America is fucked up.
Yep, there it is. A tale as old as America. And actually even older than that, just Europe, fucked up. Speaking of Europe, there's a lot of Spanish fucked upness here. So the Taínos, I came across the Taínos in John Leguizamo's The History of Latin American History for Dummies. And they're so fascinating in the story. I was like, ooh, that should be its own little mini corner. And so the Taínos were the first to have greeted Columbus, and which means they were long ago wiped out. They were an Arawak people, and so they were around in the Caribbean and Florida. And by the time in the 15th century when Columbus had landed, they were in Cuba, Jamaica, Hispaniola, which you talked about on the third episode of Minority Corner. Long ass deep.
That's a deep ass
deep
cut.
Third episode. So you want to learn about Hispaniola, that got you covered. And so also the Dominican Republic and Haiti and Puerto Rico. So they had like, it was a big region that the Taínos were covered in. Words like canoe, hammock, barbecue, tobacco,
barbecue,
and hurricane come from the Taínos.
Cool. Yeah.
And their settlements began probably around 400 BC, it's estimated. They even stretch as far as Venezuela. They just had large reaches. And there were three different groups of the Tainos. So there was the Western Tainos of Jamaica, Cuba, and the Bahamas.
Oh, my people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The classic Tainos. I don't know what they're the
classic.
Western Tainos. What? Classic Tainos. Okay. The classic Taino.
All right.
Classic Taino is Hispaniola in Puerto Rico. And the Eastern Tainos, and they were like in the Antilles area. And there's a fourth lesser known group that was maybe in Florida. Also, fun fact, Haiti is known as Land of High Mountains, which is now known as Haiti.
Interesting. Yeah.
So there were about a ton of chiefdoms that had the Tainos made up of a lot of chiefdoms that were ruling, like sort of leading their people. They did a lot of great things. They cultivated yuca
like the yuca root?
Yes, and sweet potatoes, maize, beans, other crops. Like they were doing it up.
Yeah.
And I think it's also so fascinating too, because other cultures like around the world were also learning how to use like rice. So I think it's always so fascinating when you find other things that are in other parts of the world that it was how connected I think we are in the great mind that we all maybe share.
I mean, we're all people.
We are, exactly.
Believe it or not.
Put a pin in that. We're all people. Think about that. And there's probably was about 3 million in Hispaniola alone by the end of 15th century. That's a lot of folks we're talking about. So Spanish colonizers described these towns of the Tainos. They were very densely settled, well-organized, and widely dispersed. Mm. They're all over, you know, a lot of different regions. And in Puerto Rico, one of those chiefdoms estimated about 3,000 folks hanging out in their little chiefdom village.
Wow. Okay.
They also had a lot of great innovation. They learned how to siphon cyanide from the yuca.
Wow. Okay. That's
developed.
Feel sorry for those early experiments.
Developed pepper gas for warfare. You gotta protect yourself.
Wow. Okay. All right.
They had to protect themselves. Because also there was, I forget the name of this other tribe that was like after them. They were trying to beef with them all the time. And they're like, leave us alone.
Oh.
And so they had to protect themselves. And they devised pharmaceuticals from nature. And they also,
they were fucking chemicaling it up.
They were living it up.
Into this.
They built ocean-going canoes, which made me think of like, maybe they hooked up with Queen Khalifa and her crew. I don't know.
Probably.
There was about, like, they had a boat. They had canoes that had like 100 paddlers on them.
Oh, I love it. Seafaring.
They also played games with a ball made of rubber. And Europeans were like, but what? What is this substance? I've never seen this before. They ain't never seen rubber before.
Well, they don't got rubber trees over there.
Yeah, they did not know about rubber. So
That makes sense.
I mean, the Tainos, again, like rubber, what an innovation. What are your tires made out of? What is your dodgeball made out of? Rubber. So, and they didn't.
Tires and dodgeball, two things that we need.
Yeah. And they didn't have a written language, but they had extensive poetry and lots of DIY. Mm. They were known for their fabulous woven belts and dyes, working the fashion front.
Did you just say DIY? No shit. Everything was DIY.
Well, this popped into my head when I was doing.
We hadn't reached the industrial age yet.
In my head, when they were describing what they made, I was like, oh my God, DIY.
Don't make this into an Etsy store. Who are you?
Right. I honestly didn't realize. Like, oh, they were really DIYing.
Yeah, we all were.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I was like, ooh, Neke will like this. They were DIY. They also, like, they had their enigmatic images from wood. They're cut out. They're stone and shell and bone. Just a lot of DIY. And
I'm not getting behind this.
The Tainos were known for their DIY.
Stop it.
And Columbus was so impressed with their generosity, which it's this noted guy. That it may have led to their undoing. Because here's what Columbus had to say in 1942. He said,
Not 1942. Yeah, was this Richard Columbus?
Fuck that guy. Yeah. Again, so I got the 40s on the brain. The ghost of Columbus was haunting us. He was like, give me a holiday. And since you're doing so much fucked up shit, America. So in 1492, he said,
there we go.
They will give all that they do. They will give all that they do possess for anything that is given to them, exchanging things even for bits of broken crockery.
What a dick.
They were very well built, but they're very handsome bodies and very good faces.
Ew.
They do not carry arms or know of them. They should be good servants.
This guy's a dick.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He's like, here, do you want some of this broken shit that you don't know about?
Oh, yeah.
No, fuck you, guy.
Oh, yeah. He even talked about, too, like, how they don't know, like, you know, any of the evils of the... They don't know any evils. They don't murder or steal. And he said, Your Highness...
They're taking cyanide out, so he didn't know what the fuck he's talking about. They were murdering some people.
They were protecting themselves. They were themselves from that crew that had it in for them. The East Compton Clovers. No, not them. Who was the Torrance Tigers from Bring It On? I just watched Bring It On again recently, so I got on the brain.
I see you watching that Ariana Grande video.
Oh, that's what it was. I got this Ariana Grande video. It's
you
up
and
in my
the
head.
Rest of this world.
She did a good job. You know what? In sidebar to tangent, which we don't do often, I would say she did a great job of making her music video, Ariana Grande, Thank You Next, an event, because she would like tweet out little like moments.
I know,
moments,
it's true.
And like,
I felt like such an old woman.
Once it was launched, I was like, oh, I got to tune in. Like, you know, it's hard to get that for a music video if you're not Beyonce.
True. Very true.
She made an event.
Yeah.
She made an event.
She made it. Her PR team is on point.
They did a good job. Because it's hard. Because remember, Michael Jackson used to make it an event. Mm-hmm. He was going to launch a music video. It's hard to do these days.
It's very true.
Columbus.
I wasn't that excited about the video. But anyways, go ahead. Yes.
But you still tuned in. You knew it was coming.
It took me a week. But all right.
Also, does Ariana Grande have, like, does she have Mass Effect yet? Like, in terms of, like, does my mother know who she is? Like, that's what you know when you've got, like, Mass. Like, everybody knows you. Like, everyone knows Beyonce. Like, I don't know if Ariana Grande, if she hit that critical Mass level.
We're getting to that point for Ariana Grande, but we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, she's still not there. Like, again, like, Britney Spears hit critical mass. My mom knows who she is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if my mom knows who Christina Aguilera is, but my mom knows who Britney
Spears
is.
I think Christina Aguilera hit that level.
Critical mass?
Yeah. Okay. Like a Justin Timberlake?
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I don't know if she did. Maybe.
I think so. Okay, back to the Tainos.
Back at the Tainos, he's like, Your Highness may believe that in all the world there can be no better people. They love their neighbors as themselves, and they have the sweetest talk in the world, and are gentle and always laughing.
And I'm going to fucking take them over.
Fuck over them. Yeah. So Columbus, in 1494, not to be confused with 1994, but in 1494.
Okay, so 2 years later, he saved the ocean blue. He's been here mucking shit up for 2 years.
Mucking shit up. He established the first American colony at La Isabel. On the north coast of Hispaniola.
Okay.
And there was a brief period of coexistence of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Brief.
Yeah, because he was
then
plotting.
The Spaniards moved Taino men from the villages to work in the mines and colonial plantations.
Cool. Step fun, one. Guys.
Remember, and the Tainos were, like, giving them stuff and, like, just sharing their land with them. So the Tainos were no longer able to plant crops anymore because they were working too hard. They were working. Mm-mm-mm. And they've been planting these things for centuries, so they didn't have any food, and they were, like, they were dying of, like, starvation.
This is so fucked
up. And they also were, like, feeding these people, and they died of starvation. Many thousands fell prey to smallpox, measles, and other European diseases.
Yeah.
They didn't have any immunity.
Nope.
Sickness was the biggest killer. Some committed suicide to avoid subjugation.
I hate to say it, but it makes sense.
They're like, yeah.
It's an alien invasion.
You woke up and you're in a hellscape. Like, what happened to our world? You would question, like, what did we do, like, to deserve this? Like,
how fucking pompous do you have to be to go show up somewhere and be like, give me your shit and I'm gonna fucking use you to work for me? Like, fuck you, Columbus.
Some committed suicide. Hundreds fell in fighting with the Spaniards.
Mm.
Some managed to flee to remote regions beyond the colonial control. So some got out.
Good.
So here, oh, get So here's a fucked up thing.
Oh, man.
Spanish. So the Spanish didn't bring any women in the early days, right?
Yeah.
So many Taino women married, quote unquote, conquistadors.
Yeah,
combining
were
the genes
and
of
raped.
The new world and old world to create a new mestizo pop. Oh, yeah, mestizo population, which took on Creole characteristics with the arrival of African slaves in the 16th century.
More rape.
And I was like, oh, my God, this might be some of my... I have Creole blood up in me. The Tainos could be, like, my ancestors, you know, connected up into there.
Well, I mean, when they say Creole, they mean, like, just mixing of people, right?
Well, I understand the Creole to be a specific... When my family defines it as... What my understanding of Creole is specifically, it's of having black, white, and Native American.
That's what, yeah, mixing. So I think like there's certain regions of Creole. Like there's Louisiana Creole, there's Caribbean Creole.
Gotcha.
It's like all of that.
Okay. So lots of sexual violence that was happening with the conquistadors.
Remember, this is what fucking Gina Rodriguez wants her story to be about.
Oh my God. I circled back to that one from last week, Gina Rodriguez. Is this what you want your superhero epic to be? Because it don't sound good.
It don't sound good.
Unless you want to be the hero that saves them from this mess.
But that didn't happen in history, so it'd be inaccurate. So don't do that shit to us.
So in 1514, a survey showed that 40% of Spanish men had taken Taino wives. And the number is actually expected to be higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1518, an epidemic killed 90% of the natives who had already who had not already perished.
Mm.
So after 50 years, very few Tainos were left. It didn't take a long time for this to happen. And Ricardo Algeria, a Puerto Rican historian, said by 1519, a third of Aboriginal population had died because of smallpox. In the 1530s,
yes.
The question came from the Spanish to the governor.
Uh-huh.
How many Indians are there? Who are the chiefs? The answer was none. They're all gone.
Jesus fucking Christ. Just terrible. And this is what we like. Oh, yay, Thanksgiving. No.
We need, I think, to re-examine that entire holiday, move it to something else, or like Indigenous Remembrance Day or something.
And Columbus Day needs to be fucking bullshit. We need to get rid of that fucking rhyme.
It needs to be an Indigenous like Remembrance Day, and we just need to really rework all of this, because again, this was a mass extermination that happened, and it shouldn't be celebrated. It should be a quiet day of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were about 85% of the millions of Tainos were estimated to be wiped out by the early 1500s. So they lost their language, they lost their spiritual practices. They used to have really cool hallucinogen induced Cohoba ceremonies.
They've been doing they did those chemicals, didn't they?
They were into their chems. Yeah.
Chemists.
They knew things that we didn't know. Mm-hmm. And it allowed them to, the shamans were able to be in touch with the spirit world. And I bet that they had like a different way of thinking and connecting to things that we don't even see and we don't even connect to.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they were chemists, so they definitely fucking knew what they were doing. Just from what you were explaining, the little bits of information, that's just the tip of the iceberg that the historians at the time who favored Spanish, you know that they did, wrote down. Who knows what else that was lost to that community, culture, people.
I want to run down a quick thing of like, just when you thought Columbus couldn't get any worse, mm-hmm. here's some other extra fucked up shit that he did to the Tainos.
Okay.
So some of them accompanied Columbus back with him to Spain. And on his second voyage, he began to require tribute from the Tainos in Hispaniola. And according to one author, each adult over 14 years of age was expected to deliver a hawk's bell full of gold every 3 months, or when this was lacking, 25 pounds of spun cotton. If this tribute was not brought, the Spanish cut off the hands of the Taino and left them to bleed to death.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's awful.
I had no idea.
It's disgusting.
In 1511, there was a bunch of tribes who tried to, some of them were warring, and they tried to revolt against them. And I think it was a Taino chieftain who had fled from Hispaniola to Cuba with 400 natives to unite the Cuban natives was burned at the stake on February 2nd, 1512. Mm. Yeah, so I just wanted to touch on the Tainos.
No,
not
I'm
the
glad
most
that...
uplifting story, but I wanted to highlight, like, this is, like, one of, like, many stories, you know, of a group of people.
I wanted to, like, before you, like, totally wrap it up,
yeah.
I want to connect this to modern day.
Yeah.
There's that one guy, the missionary, I forget his name at this moment. I think his last name is Chow.
Yeah.
Who was killed by a native tribe in an island that's off of India, I want to say. Mm. It's close to India. So it's one of the, like, rarest last indigenous secluded hunter-gatherer type tribes that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
And this guy got it in his thick noggin that he was going to convert them to Christianity. One, he was killed.
Oh.
And that's sad, right. But at the same time, leave
people alone. Yeah.
Leave people alone. If people have their own culture and they've been existing for hundreds and thousands of years doing their own damn thing, don't think that you're better than them.
Yeah.
Don't think that you can go in there and share whatever you have when they, without thinking about what they have,
yep,
and what they can offer, yep, to themselves, mm-hmm, and how you may be bringing diseases, how you may be bringing in colonizers,
diseases and stuff, and like just
all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So, one, I don't want to celebrate a death, but two, leave people alone.
Mm, yeah.
Let's really end the legacy of Columbusing areas, ooh, and lands and people and stuff, because it's destruction.
It's destruction. I mean, Columbusing, like modern day Columbusing, I think gentrification is modern day Columbusing. Like, stop. Stop Columbusing. Stop.
Yeah.
Taking other people's stuff. There is one victory I left off. So a Taino, ooh, chieftain by the name of Enriquillo mobilized over 3,000 Tainos in a successful rebellion in the 1520s. So,
all right,
that's pretty dope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then starting in about 1840, there were attempts to create a quasi-indigenous Taino identity in areas of Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. And the trend accelerated among the public Puerto Rican community in the United States in the 1960s. So there are folks in the DR and PR who do identify as Taino, who are holding up that flag and that legacy.
Good. So it exists through that. That's
through
good.
Them. Yeah. So a little bit of history to round out that Thanksgiving weekend, and also just what Aneke was talking about, just a lot of parallel themes of...
Yeah. Learn your goddamn history. That's the theme of this whole episode. Yep.
Learn it.
Or you're going to be an insane country like the United States, or say something stupid like Gina Rodriguez,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, try and be a missionary Save-A-Ho and end up being killed. So learn your history.
End of the episode.
It is.
Well, we've got some reviews hot off the presses.
Okay, what we got? What
do
we got?
And so you can also get involved in the conversation if you go over onto iTunes or wherever you listen to this delightful podcast and write a review. It helps people to find us. And this one is coming in from... it's titled A Weekly Must Have, 5 stars. By
that's their fun.
Tag name is Sarah Dr. Krakenian. You know who you are. And they wrote, Aneke and James easily took the top spot in podcasts I need to listen to every week. They're talking about politics, media, culture that is important to me. They keep me on guard and activated. Put down your pillows. Minority Corner is equipping us for war. Led with love.
Wow.
I love that. I almost want to turn like that into a pillow.
I like that too. Thank you for that. Put down your pillows. That's a long one. That's a long pillow. But thank you for that review. That's Grandma so fucking awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so
what's happening in the Twitterverse?
We got some... Y'all be tweeting. I'm very impressed with all of you. Okay, so we got one that is very apropos to what we've been talking about today. This is from @RacialReckoning, and it goes, some word suggestions for Europeans who stepped way out of their lane back in the day from which people of color are still recovering. Genociders, colonizers, terrorists, killers, thieves, criminals, bandits, plunderers, robbers, swindlers, villains, executioners, assassins, and murderers.
Wow. I co-sign on all of those words to describe them.
And I think it was coming from when we were like calling them pirates or whatever. And we were
like, oh, we don't know what to call them. Yeah, and so there it is.
Ooh, yeah. Stepped in. Thank you. And then here's a fun one. This is from @andshewas. Catching up on Minority Corner this week, and Shanice comes on the radio in the grocery store. #kismet. #yes, it's 2018.
Yes, I love that.
And there's plenty of other stuff. Like, you guys have been fucking tweeting us. I am, like, so amused. Thank you so much. A lot of recommendations.
Ooh.
A lot of people just, you know, sending support. Just, like, I really have to say thank you to all of you guys. You can follow us at Minority Corner, and remember, corner with a K. You guys making me so proud to just dip into the Twitter and seeing not just a hellscape, which Twitter usually is, but your guys' awesome messages.
Yeah. So thank you for brightening up our Twitter feed, because it can be scary, but y'all are the light that we needed.
Woot woot. So I think that's our episode.
Well, yeah. Well, also, it's almost the end of the year, and I would love, I feel like we're begging for it at this point.
Can we get, what are we begging for?
Ask Minority Corner anything. It's the end of the year, you must want to know something or have a burning question about something. You can ask Minority Corner anything within reason, and you can send those over to minoritycorner@gmail.com. we love audio recordings, keeping it underneath a minute. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice to hear your voice on the podcast. It takes a village, a part of the community.
That'd be awesome.
You can also write out the question as well if you would like. So let's get some Ask My Nerdy Corner anythings in before the end of the year.
I love it. Oh my god, I just remembered too, if you're looking for Christmas presents to buy for people or yourself,
Hanukkah or Kwanzaa,
mm-hmm, Hanukkah, Christmas, holiday present, treat yourself present, mm-hmm, New Year's
present,
winter solstice,
a new year present,
new year, new you.
With a new t-shirt.
Yeah, we got t-shirts at the Maximum Fun gift store. They say Side Eye Your Hero. They're designed by Megan Lincott, and they look so cute.
They're so cute. So cute. So cute. I want. Well, you better get your holiday shopping or your winter solstice shopping or your new year, new you shopping.
I love
over
new
there.
Year, new you.
I do too. I want to be, what are you doing today? Go new year, new you shopping. Yeah. I went to the new year, new you sale. It could be a thing. I'm into it.
You know what? I think we made it a thing.
I think we did. So get ready. It's coming at you like Cleopatra. Oh, I said it. Well, we want to. The end of the episode.
We gotta go.
We gotta go. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We love you so much. Thank you to Brownout for our music.
Thank you.
Thank you to Woody for your fabulous
editing. This one was a hard one. Thanks, Woody.
We couldn't do the episode without you. And thank you to all of our listeners, old and new. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together,
we're
the majority.
The majority. There we go. Love y'all.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.